A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality in light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In case you don't know who I am, I'm Father Jim Carlisle, and I'm retired. And so I get to be here while Father Rocha is off, I don't know, doing something else. But I'm grateful to him for giving me the opportunity to be here on this beautiful day with all these beautiful people. This morning I want to focus on the collect of the day. The collect, you know, is that prayer that the priest prays at the end of, or he leads the prayer, hopefully you're all praying with me, at the end of the introductory rites. This ancient prayer this morning that we prayed goes like this. O God, who commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. So this prayer, like many of these collects, does three things. It says, it tells us who God is, it speaks about who God is, and then it asks God for something related to who he is, and then it tells God why we're asking. See, so those are the three things that the collect does. And so this morning, what we've learned is that God is the one who commands us to listen to his beloved Son. Now, when did God make that command? Well, about 90 seconds ago, right? That was in the gospel, when God says, Listen to him. He's my beloved Son. So he's commanded us to listen. So we're saying, okay, God, you command us to listen. So here's what we're asking. When we listen, please nourish us inwardly by your word. Okay? So we'll listen, but we want you to promise to nourish us with your word. And why are we asking this? In order, the prayer says, in order that we may see clearly. In other words, as it says, so that our spiritual sight will be made pure and we'll see God's glory. So that's what we're asking this morning. What will we see when we see God's glory? You know, the apostles saw, what did they see? They saw Christ transformed, transfigured. But what would we see? Well, we'll see always, when we see God's glory manifested, we'll always see three things, or at least one of three things. The first is always, we'll see truth. Because God's word is truth. And whenever we hear something that's true, and I'm not talking about, you know, my truth. You know, I don't have my truth. We're not talking about your truth. No, we're talking about the truth. When God's glory is manifested, it will be always manifested in the truth. The second thing is we'll always see God's goodness in his manifestation. So whenever we see anything that is good, that's noble, when we see somebody doing something good for another, we're seeing God's glory manifested. And then the third thing is we'll always see, when God's glory is manifested, we'll always see beauty. So these three things are manifested when God's glory is manifested: truth, goodness, and beauty. And really, that sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? I mean, we're amazed this morning. Several people have told me this morning already how amazed they are by this beautiful day. Right? That is a manifestation of God's glory. And but the question then becomes, God asks us, or he commands us to listen. Does God really speak? Listen to his son. His son is the word, his God's word. Does God speak? Can people really hear God, inwardly or otherwise? Well, absolutely. We heard in the first lesson, right? God spoke to Abram, later known as Abraham. We know he spoke to Moses, right? In the burning bush, remember that? God spoke to St. Francis, remember the story of Francis kneeling before the crucifix in the San Damiano chapel, saying, you know, rebuild my church. God spoke to St. Faustina, who's gave her that beautiful image, the image of divine mercy. So yeah, God does. Of course, that was a long time ago, or maybe even, I mean, Faustina wasn't all that long ago. But those were also unusual people, right? We can agree all those people were unusual. They were unusually holy. So the question is, can God speak to you? Is God available to speak to you so that you can actually have something to listen to? Well, I love something Lily Tomlin said. Anybody here remember Lily Tomlin? You're showing your age, right? Okay. Do you remember Lily Tomlin? Yeah, I didn't think so. So she was a comedian, laugh-in, right, wasn't it? But I got this quote. I don't know when she said this or why, but it's beautiful. She says, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be crazy?" Right? Isn't that true? It is true. It's true because we live in a culture that says that the skeptical person is always smarter than a religious person. Right? So if God does speak to us, for example, if he answers a prayer, we're very likely to put it down as coincidence. You may have heard me tell this story before, because I love the story about the guy who was desperately seeking a job. He had a job interview, and he's late. He drives into the parking lot, and it's full, and he says, "Lord, I'm desperate. Please help me. I need a parking place." And at that moment, a car pulls out right in front of the front door, and he whips in and he says, "Never mind, Lord, I just found one." Now, have you ever done that? I bet you have. I bet I have. I know I have. You know, we ask God to answer. We ask God that he answers our prayer, but, you know, we say, "Well, that must have been a coincidence." And was it a certifiable miracle? If it ain't a certifiable miracle, then I'm not attributing it to God. No. St. James says in his epistle, every good gift comes from above. We don't have to worry about whether it's a coincidence. Everything that is good comes from God. Everything that is good is a manifestation of God's glory. And this is, and so it turns out that it is the experience of many everyday normal people that God does speak to them. And you may be one of them. I know there are many people, I mean, I'm a priest, people come to me and they say, you know, I wouldn't tell other people because they'd think I was crazy, but let me tell you what God has done in my life, or let me tell you how God answered a prayer. So, yeah, there are many people who have this experience, and it's important because listening is an essential element of friendship, right? If you have a friend and, you know, calls you and say, I need to talk to you, and you say, I'm sorry, I don't have time, that's not a friendly thing, is it? Listening is essential to friendship, and we are called, you and I are called to friendship with God. In fact, that's exactly what it means to be a Christian, is to be a friend of God. Isn't that what our Lord said the night before he was crucified? When he was with the disciples, he says, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. I'm going to call you friends. Because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've disclosed to you everything. So you're now my friends. And that's who we are. That's who we're called to be, is God's friends. So we're called to listen. Now, how are we going to do that? Where do we start with listening to God? Well, we could start like Samuel. Now, I don't know if you know the story about Samuel. Samuel was a prophet. His mother was Hannah. He came in answer to Hannah's prayer. She was an old woman. She was infertile. And she prayed, and God sent her a son. He made her fertile. And she had a son, and her husband and she then dedicated their son, whom they called Samuel, to God. And they sent him off to live with the priests at the temple in Shiloh. And so one night Samuel is listening. He's sleeping, and he hears a voice, Samuel. And he runs over to Eli, the chief priest, and he says, you know, goes over and he says, you called. He said, I didn't call you. So he goes back again. It happens three times. And finally, Eli says, okay, well, this must be God, the voice of God. So if you have this experience again, he says, then what you're to say is, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that happened, and God did speak, and that became the beginning of Samuel's very fruitful life. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's a good prayer for you and me. That's a good place to start, is to speak, Lord, your servant is listening. When you get up in the morning, you could pray this prayer. Lord, as I go through the day, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you come to adoration and you're sitting here before the Blessed Sacrament, you could say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. If you're distressed and having problems and you don't know where to go, you could do worse than to drop everything and to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then when you pray that prayer, wait and watch. Maybe you'll see a burning bush. Maybe you'll see Moses and Elijah on either side of Jesus. Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe you won't see that. More often, you may have the experience of Elijah, another prophet in the Old Testament. You remember his experience? He said he was looking for God, and he went out into the wilderness, and there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after this fire, a still, small voice. Remember? God was in that still, small voice. We need to listen for that still, small voice, because that's how God most frequently, I think, speaks to us. He also speaks to us, perhaps, in the voice of another person. He may be speaking to you in the voice of your wife, or of your husband, or your son, or your daughter, or your mother or father. He may be speaking through you, to you through the voice of a neighbor, or through the voice of a coworker, or even a critic or an enemy. Maybe you will hear him in the events of everyday life. And certainly if you pay attention, you will hear him one way or another. And certainly, most certainly, undoubtedly, you can hear him whenever you open Holy Scripture and read attentively. And in the writings of the saints. And in the teachings of the church. So how do we recognize God's voice? How do you distinguish his voice from your own inward selfish voice or the voice of the enemy? Well, in the first place, God's voice is always in accord with God's spirit, which is a spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the rest. The fruit of the spirit. Anything you hear that is opposed to those things, to love, joy, and peace, and kindness, that's not the voice of God. And in the second place, God's word will never contradict, God's word spoken to you will never contradict God's word written. Or it will never contradict the formal teachings of the church. I swear to you, this happened to me as a pastor many years ago in a faraway place, far away from here. And it wasn't in confession, so I'm not violating a seal. But somebody came to me and said, Father, I'm in love with this guy, and I'm married. And I'm wondering if maybe God isn't calling me to get with the guy and, like, leave my husband. Do you think God was doing that? Well, what does God's word written say about adultery? Yeah, so God had already spoken on that issue. She didn't need a special revelation to figure out what God was calling her to do in that situation. In the third place, sometimes spiritual counsel helps. Sometimes you need somebody else to help you sort through what God is saying to you, just like Samuel needed Eli to help him understand and recognize God's word. There are obstacles, okay? Quickly. One is unfamiliarity. If you haven't spent a lot of time listening to God, listening for God, then you might not recognize his voice when he speaks. Of course, the biggest obstacle to hearing God's voice is sin. Because sin not only obscures our vision, but it also makes us deaf to God's word. You may be like Asaph. Asaph, Psalms 73 is a psalm of Asaph. And in that psalm we read, "When my heart grew embittered and I was pierced to the depths of my being, I was stupid and did not understand. I was like a beast in your sight." What he's saying is, you know, I was bitter, angry, disappointed, and because of that, I was pierced to the depths of my being. I was stupid. I didn't understand. But now, he says, now I see. What is it? He says, "I was always in your presence. And all along, you were holding me by my right hand." "And now I know," he says, "by your counsel, you will guide me and then lead me to glory." So, my friends, when God doesn't make sense, when you are pierced to the depths of your being by suffering and loss, know that God is always in your presence. And if you listen carefully and obediently, God will guide you by his counsel. And he will lead you to glory. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, who was crucified with the flesh of blood, he suffered death and was buried.
And rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church.
I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Amen.
That Holy Church may be turned away from worldly preoccupation to heavenly priorities, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Pope Francis, Bishop Johnston, Father Rocha, all our faithful priests, and all who lead and serve our church, that they may be ministers of forgiveness and prophets of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the leaders of our world may listen to the Son, the Beloved, through whom all war and discord can cease, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our parish and community, that the Holy Spirit may increase in us the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. That St. Robert Bellarmine may be a greater blessing to our community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That like Abraham, our father in faith, we will not refuse the Lord our God anything he asks of us, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Jesus, who has robbed death of its power, may grant us a culture of life free from the evils of abortion, euthanasia, and all forms of violence and oppression, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have lost a loved one, that they may be consoled in their sadness, steadfast in faith, and strengthened in hope, we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that the risen Christ will bring into his Father's presence the souls of those who have died in his peace, especially for the repose of the soul of Mary Rocha, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy answer, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Please join us in our hymn of preparation, Transfiguration. The music is available on page 496 of your hymnal.
Let us, if we dare to speak, Pray, brothers. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept.